If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to kind of stay in this vein of storms of life. I just can't leave it right now. I just feel like we still need to talk about it. And the truth is that we all need to take care of our business. Jesus said this. He said, I must be about my Father's business. People go, well, the church is just a business. You're right about that. It's the Father's business, and it's the most important business there is, because we make a difference in people's lives for eternity. Tell me a better purpose in life, and I won't believe you. In John chapter 4, it's interesting. I want to talk to you about the perfect storm, and I'll just do the little let you know what the end of the story is before I tell you the story. The end of the story is that the perfect storm, if you want to go through the perfect storm, you will have to have Jesus with you. Because Jesus, in the middle of your storm, will get you through your storm, because he won't leave you in your storm. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, that day when evening came, and a little context here, Jesus had just got through teaching a lot of parables, and the masses had grown around him so much that he had to get into a boat so he could have some separation so he could teach them. So down here toward the end, it says, when evening came, he said, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, they being the disciples, just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we drown? Interesting. It seems to me like in the middle of storms, and I'm talking about people storms too. I'm not just talking about weather storms. I'm talking about people storms. But in the middle of the storms, it's as though somebody always wants to find somebody to blame for the storm. Even if the storm is caused by me, I want to find somebody else to blame. You know, it's interesting about the storm. It's like, it's global warming. It's the president's fault. FEMA. I mean, just like we're almost in a blame searching generation, but it doesn't have to be that way. But you know what I want to just say today? In the middle of the storms, a storm is just a storm, and sometimes storms just happen. But they will happen, and we have to deal with them when they do happen. But storms will come. Storms came in the life of Jesus as well. Let me rephrase that. Jesus went through storms himself. When this family got up and saying it's under the blood, what they're talking about is something we don't comprehend. We don't comprehend that Jesus took on the sins of the world, that his storm was, that he was willing to take on, was because he loved us so much that he bore our sins. And I don't know if you ever bled much, but anytime I've ever bled, it hurts. But he was willing to go through the storm so that we could have peace in our storm. So he's in the boat in the middle of the lake in a squall, and it doesn't look very good. My first point is storms will come. In 1 Peter 4:12, it says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised when painful trials come, because and thinking that you're the only one that's ever gone through this. Because the world is full of people who are going through a lot of the similar things that somebody else could. But if the enemy can get you apart from other people, and he can take you aside. He can kill you. I don't know if you ever watched a National Geographic channel, but the way the lions kill all their animals is they separate them from the herd. You know, when people out there, they'll go, man, I can't believe you get up and go to church every Sunday morning. I can't believe that. Why are you doing that? We don't want to get separated from the herd. We don't want to be isolated, and we don't want to be. Jesus said this. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are, the ones that get ate up by the wolves. We're in church. Some go, church, that's just for a bunch of cripples. You don't need church. Well, church, a crutch isn't a bad thing if you're a cripple. Amen. And you kind of need a crutch, because we without Jesus, we're awful weak. In fact, I woke up this morning and I prayed to Jesus and I said, I feel weak this morning, but in my weakness, you are made strong. And you're going to help me. I know you do, because he always does. Storms will come. The disciples seemed to be shocked that they were in this position. After all, Jesus was with them. Wouldn't God protect the Messiah, the Father, protect the Son, therefore protect his followers? How could this happen? Do you ever find yourself in the place where you say, didn't I do all the right things? Isn't God supposed to watch out for his own? Doesn't he protect those he loves? How can this be happening? I'm sure these questions were going through the heads of the disciples. Abraham had, there was a verse in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. It says, talks about Abraham. And you remember Abraham, all the promises that God brought to us came through Abraham. And here's what it says. It says, and after waiting patiently, everybody say, waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. And we go, well, that's good. He waited patiently. But really, there in the original language, it's much stronger. It's a word that I can't pronounce in the Greek. Macro something. But the translation is long-suffering. That would make it to say, and so, after long-suffering, Abraham received his promise. Whenever you receive something that is of value, many times you will have to work for it. When you have something of value, you will have to sacrifice it. Sometimes you will have tears. Sometimes you'll have to have, blood will be shed. Talk to all of our soldiers who have shed innocent blood for our freedom so we could stand and enjoy the peace that we have right now in Montgomery, Texas, and everybody watching online, wherever you're at, we can have peace because there was blood shed on foreign soil and sometimes even here so that we could have peace because we have peacemakers here on earth, because we have the peacemaker up in heaven, we can have peace in the middle of a storm. Because he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Hebrews 6 at 19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Aren't you glad that there's an anchor for your soul, that the storm may be raging, but that anchor is strong in us. And we're not going anywhere because we're anchored because of the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. Have you ever been where the disciples were? Jesus, don't you care if I drown? Are you aware of what I'm going through? Sometimes that happens. How could you say that to Jesus? But they did. They, and those were their true feelings. They were in a storm and they were frightened and they couldn't understand why this was happening. Good and bad happen to all. The important thing is whether or not we're prepared for the storm. We had a You remember Sunday night of the storm, Darla told me it was about 2 a.m. She said the wind woke her up because it was blowing so hard. And she said, we thought we were prepared for the storm, but you know what? You never really know whether you're prepared for the storm until the storm comes. I mean, we had built the foundation of our house up. We're over, part of our property is in Lake Creek, but we're up high where we're at. And when we even built it up some more, we thought like 8 months ago, we were kind of having with the bills, we thought we'd cut some of that stuff down. So we canceled our flood insurance. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, while the wind was blowing, Darla, she said, I prayed. She said, Lord, if anything happens to this house, make it happen from a tornado and not from a flood. Because we don't have insurance. But just like Brad in his marriage, he had preventive maintenance. He was prepared for any storm that would come, and he could more ably, and Stephanie as well, they could handle more situations in their marriage because they were prepared for those problems. They were prepared for the storms, but it was the same with us. We built it up, and we felt like we were safe, and we were. And the water didn't come up on Sunday evening before we went to sleep. We had a little intimate moment in the barn, and we was looking at that water, and I said, Lord, that house is yours, and if it floods, it's going to be your house that floods. And I was just kind of had a little teary moment, and then Darla just shouts out from nowhere. She says, peace be still, in Jesus' name I command you, water, don't come up. I'm like, man, something just got in the middle of it, and I'm like, man, I thought we was going to kind of solemn moment here. No. But that's what Jesus did. He spoke to the storm. He said, peace be still. And he said, greater things. I hope somebody's listening. He said, greater things than these shall you do. Greater things than what he did. He said, you can do them because I go to make intercession for you. In other words, Jesus is acting on your behalf. Whatever is happening in your storm, Jesus is there for you. He is there with you. And he ain't gonna leave you in the middle of your storm. He's gonna be there. Praise God. Jesus is with us. And I'm just on the second point, and that's bad news. Jesus is with us in the storm. Why was he asleep? Number one, he'd been preaching all day. That'll wear you out. He is exhausted. Second reason that he was sleeping is because he had peace in the storm. The disciples didn't have it, but Jesus had it. Interesting enough, this is the only place in the Bible where it talks about Jesus sleeping. And you think about it, you go, well, and that's kind of a strange place for it to talk about because he really shouldn't have been sleeping. Well, in your mind, he shouldn't have been sleeping, but in his mind, he was fine with it. The only people of faith could sleep in the storm. But people who are full of fear will not sleep in the storm. It's interesting that this is the only place where it talks about the storm, him sleeping. Oh, by the way, what is Jesus' response when he wakes up, when the disciples wake him up? First thing he does, he rebukes the storm. But the second thing he does, he rebukes the disciples. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? what he was doing, he was saying, hey, don't you remember all of the miracles? Don't you know who I am? I am the great I am. Don't you know that I have power over your storms? Don't you know that I created these waters? I created the heavens. I created the earth. And I know these things because I created these things. I have authority over these things. And I have given you authority over these things. Not everybody's going to jump in the middle of this sermon, but I'm telling you something. If you'll get a hold of this and begin to speak to your storms and to have the authority that God gave you, things will change in your life forever. You'll never look at your storms the same again because you'll look at them through his perspective instead of through perspective of fear. You will have faith. You don't ever know that the storm, whether the storm's going to get you or not until the storm comes. But if you're prepared for the storm, you will do much better in the storm. Fear and faith are incompatible. So I'm sure that Jesus' question, why are you afraid? The disciples probably had a response for him. Well, the waves are coming up on the boat. And you were down there in the bottom. You didn't know it, but water was coming over. And the wind was blowing tremendously. And Jesus, I'm telling you, things weren't looking good up here. Don't you know we were about to drown and you were sleeping? What's up with that? Don't you think we have the right to worry? Jesus was hoping that what they had seen him do in the past would provide a stronger faith in the future. What they were doing is the same thing. I wished I wasn't in the middle of this, but I am. What they were doing is the same thing that you do, and it's the same thing I do when we go get in the middle of a storm. We start looking at our own circumstances instead of the one who has the power over our circumstances. When you're looking at the storm, you can either speak to the storm in the name of Jesus, or you can just ride it out and worry and mess yourself up. There's all kinds of storms. There's storms, all kinds of storms. It's only in the middle of the storm that we really understand who Jesus is. It's kind of like the guy, he was up there fixing his roof in the middle of a storm. Neighbor come by and he said, how come you're fixing your roof in the middle of a rainstorm? Why don't you fix it when it's not raining? He said, well, when it doesn't rain, it doesn't leak. How many times do we wait for the storm? Y'all looking awful holy on me out there. Now, I'm the preacher here. And I know people. I study people. And many times when people go through a storm, they will actually, believe it or not, they will actually get out of their seat, come out, walk down the aisle, and they will actually kneel down at this altar and they will get with God and pray at the altar when there's a real problem. But when the problem is over, I'm like, where's all these people? Here's what God told me. Because do you seek God more when you're having hard times? I'm asking you a question that I need an answer for. I said, do you seek God more in the hard times than you do in the good times?
Yes.
Everybody does. God spoke to my heart one time, and this just is just like, he said, Randy, if you'll seek me in the good times like you do in the hard times, you won't have near as many hard times.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you, if you'll seek him, and you all are doing that, but I'm just stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. If you'll seek God in the good times, if you go to the altar, make your altar at your house, find time for God. That's what the world don't understand. This morning, we're just preparing for another storm because they're going to come. Seek him in the good times like you do in the bad times. Won't have near as many bad times. They were afraid of the storm because they were terrified. But you know what? That Greek word where it says they were afraid of the storm, it said when it talks about the fear that came on them when they saw Jesus calm the storm, that fear is a much greater fear in the Greek than it is the fear that came on them. They were more terrified when they saw what Jesus did than they were of the actual storm. Do you know why? There was more power with Jesus than there was with the storm. Thank you for that amen right there. I love the amens from the back. Jesus is telling us to live by faith, not by fear. Been through a lot of storms in my life. We could talk about that all day, but one of the things I think is so valuable for us today is to understand that we're not alone when we're going through storms. I've been through storms with my own sin and my own life. I said I've been through storms because of the sin in my own life.
Amen.
I was a storm causer. I caused the storms. And sometimes they lasted longer than I want them to. Sometimes they go back out in the ocean and gather up more steam and come back. Sometimes I had storms in my marriage. Didn't know. If it wasn't for Jesus in our marriage, darling, I wouldn't be married right now. We got two type A personalities. We're like type A plus. So about the only place I ever got an A. In type A. Had storms with my kids. Some of you kids had storms with your parents. Storms are going to come. You remember the Titanic? I was thinking about this morning. They thought that the Titanic was unsinkable. And then what happened was they saw the iceberg. This is what I remember. I was thinking about it this morning, so I didn't study about it. But they saw that iceberg, but it wasn't all of the iceberg was underneath the water that they couldn't see. And they thought they was okay. And when they hit the iceberg, they realized that they weren't. But the arrogance, I don't know how to say this real politely, but the arrogance and the pride that they had is what sunk their ship. I'm going to be real kind about this. In this building, and even watching online, there are people that are so prideful that they're unwilling to accept the teaching that God has for them when it comes to the storms in their own life. They want to blame a lot of other people. They want to blame their wife, their kids, their job. They want to blame their circumstances. They want to blame they don't have no money. They want to, there's so many things. You can find something. You can find something to blame your problem on. But my counsel to you today is to look in the mirror and look at who you are through God's eyes, because He sees so much more in you than you see in yourself. He sees so much more value in you. He sees so much more potential in you. He sees so much more than you could ever imagine or you could ever think. He didn't come to condemn you for your problem, for you causing the storm. He came so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This is not a message of condemnation because of storms you cause. It's a message of hope because He is the one that will never leave you. He might be asleep in the boat, but He's still got everything under control. You wanna go through your perfect storm? Let Jesus stay in the boat. Amen. Leave Him in the boat with you. That you'll be okay. You get out there on your own. Oh my goodness. Them old wolves going to try to take you down. And they've done that. But in case the wolves are taking you down out there, if there's somebody here today, I just want you to know that God is a God of resurrection. He can resurrect you from your mess. Man, I could just stay here and preach to you all day, but I got another group of people coming in, and y'all going to have to be really nice in the parking lot. Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence in our lives. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you that opportunity simply by raising your hand. Say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. Anybody, slip your hand up high. Slip your hand up high. Thank you, partner. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I don't want to miss your hand. Slip your hand up high. We're going to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Thank you. If you raised your hand, would you mind looking up at me? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? I'd be honored to pray with you. It'd be the greatest honor of the day to help you come to know Christ. Yeah. I love you, buddy. Bless your heart. I want to pray with you, okay? Just repeat after me. Just say, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank You for loving me.
Thank You for loving me.
Thank You for dying on the cross.
Thank You for dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I invite You into my heart.
Invite You into my heart.
Invite You into my life.
Invite You into my life.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I give my life to You.
I give my life to You.
Help me to read my Bible.
Help me to read my Bible.
To pray.
To pray.
Show up for church.
Show up for church.
And get baptized.
And get baptized.
I love You, Jesus.
I love You, Jesus.
Teach me to love You more.
Teach me to love You more.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
I love You. Hey, you know what? While we was praying, I felt like God spoke to my heart. And He said, this is a man of His word. That means a lot to God. What you've done today is not only a gift to you, but it's a gift to Him, because you were created to do what you did right now, and He's blessed by you. Thank you. You are. Bless you. Go visit these ladies. I love you, buddy. Stand with me, please. We got our prayer team up here. If we need special prayer, love to have you. Man, I'm so glad y'all are here. We do have an 8:30 service. Like if you're up anyway, or if you like to sleep in, we have 11:30 service. Or if you just like get down kind of stuff, show up on Monday night, it's really, really cool. What I'm trying to say is let's spread out a little bit. Somebody got to be the shepherd. Lord, bless your church, I pray. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord, so much for your presence today. In Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
We love y'all. God bless you.